Hi there, and welcome to the Proud to Be of Rust and Glass podcast. Today's guest is Yvette Reyes, who is a self-taught Mexican-American artist from Toledo, Ohio, who expresses themselves through dreamscapes and surrealism. Yvette's art has been featured on the cover of the Toledo Blades art section, and their art has always been a way to deal with hardship in life. Yvette, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
For those of us who can't afford therapy, myself included, art can be a much needed healing process. But before we kind of get more into that, we'd love to learn more about you as an artist. Can you tell us a little bit about how art first found you?
It's kind of always been with me since I was a child. My dad used to take me to the Toledo Art Museum quite often. So I think that was probably the earliest introduction to art in my life. And then just always having crayons and pencils and paper. And we did move around quite a bit, so it was harder to make friends, but having those art supplies and the ability to draw was something that helped entertain me and also made it easier to make friends when I got to a school, because they'd be like, oh, it's the girl that draws.
Amazing.
So yeah, I think art has kind of always been with me.
Beautiful. Did that help you sort of draw other artistic friends in early on?
Definitely. I had a really good friend that I met in second grade, and I just remember that she taught me, she liked the way I drew my almond eyes on my characters. Aww. And I liked the way she drew her different shaped eyeballs that were more of like an anime style that was not my style, but I was like, oh, that's so cool. And we exchanged tips, and it was crazy because, like I said, we moved around a lot, and this was pre-cell phones, pre-internet, so I had been thinking about her quite often, like, oh, I remember that friend. And about a month ago, she messaged me on Facebook and was like, hi, do you remember me?
Oh, that's incredible. What a great thing. I mean, social media has its things that are incredibly annoying. And right. I often am like, I want to delete social media. Get off of this. This is awful.
I feel that, ruling
our lives. But things like that are amazing.
Yes.
Is she close by still?
She is in Michigan, so not too far. Okay. But it was very exciting to hear from her. And I do hope we can connect more and, like, reminisce over our second grade drawings. And
oh, amazing. And see where you both exactly. have come as artists yep. since yep. then. Hopefully exactly. she's still making art too.
She is, good. Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love to hear it. Do you have any, like, one moment that you look back at and you think that is when you realize that, hey, I might be an artist?
I would say probably, I think I have two moments like that. So in the fourth grade, I had a teacher, Mrs. Constantus, who encouraged us to read and write very much, and she always gave us lots of books. Hmm. And she was doing a little self-published how to write booklet for younger people, and she encouraged me to do the illustrations for it.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
So then I got to have a copy of it, and I think that was just one of those cool things as a fourth grader, like, oh my goodness, my art.
Do you still have your copy of it?
I do still have
that's
it,
amazing.
Yes.
How often do you look back at it? And
not often enough, although I do plan on incorporating it in a current project I'm working on this summer.
Oh, that is so cool. I can't wait to see it. And you said you had a second moment.
A second one, yes. In the sixth grade, Toledo Public Schools, I think they still do it. They used to do the Healthy Bear public calendars, and they would publish the students' art from each grade level. And the theme was spring cleaning. They gave us the theme. I think it was sixth grade, so I was getting to that age of like, oh, I'm a cool kid, you know?
we were all so cool in
sixth grade. I'm too cool for this project. So I think I just like hurry up and whipped it out in 10 minutes just to have the assignment done, and was like, all right, now I can just do whatever. And then surprisingly, my drawing actually got chosen for the calendar, and I was like, oh, wow, like, I didn't feel like I was trying, but it
unexpected.
Got chosen. Yes, and so it did make me feel proud of that, which I also still have the calendar as well.
So this is kind of related to that. As a writer, I know that when I kind of just bang things out and I just sit down and sort of vomit words on paper, a lot of times I get some of my best work out. Do you feel that way with your art, or do you like to sit back and take your time?
It's a little bit of both. Like, I think the concept is there in my head. Sometimes I can do a quick sketch and work from there, but generally it does help if it's just a loose sketch, and then I just lose track of time and thought and just am in the process. And then, yeah, each new move is just in the moment of where is this going? Yeah, how is this flowing? Do I like this shape? does it need to be more this way, that way, more color? And it's just more freedom and less limiting. Amazing. When you don't have to feel like it has to be a certain expected way.
Right. That definitely makes sense. And now it sounds like you got started pretty early. From a young age to now, have you always embraced that creativity, or has there ever been a time where you've sort of, you know, lost track of yourself in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, around 12, I was getting to that age that I'm like, I don't know, I wanted to explore different things. You're transitioning from a child to a teenager. And then I think I was in a place where I was at for a couple years, so I was able to develop more of those friendships that I hadn't developed as a child. And yeah, it was more important for me to like try to make friends. And I didn't need the art as much, or I didn't really make the time for it. I didn't feel like I needed it as much. So it wasn't until I became a mother, which was very young. I was 18 when I had my daughter and 19 when I had my first son. So, and then also 19 when I got married. So I was at that point working and also being a mom. And most of my peers were going off to college or starting different paths in their life. And so it was a time again where I was alone a lot and didn't have those friendships or connections. And so art, that was definitely when I delved back into the art realm. Mm-hmm. And it became one of those things that I did almost daily.
Awesome. It can be incredibly difficult when you're working and mm-hmm. taking care of kids and also young enough to where you're trying to discover yourself at the same time.
Yes.
To sort of stick to your creativity. Did you eventually find a way to continue to focus on your art, even though you had all these other distractions and not distractions, priorities? Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
Of course, kids are can always be the most important thing in your life. But did you find a way back to your art through all of that?
Definitely. Yeah, pretty much. It became my kind of way of therapy or making time for myself, mm-hmm. because there really wasn't a lot of time for anything else. It's not like I could really go out as often as I wanted, or yeah, I just didn't have those social connections. So it was basically motherhood, work, and art.
Amazing.
And art really helped me, I don't know, just have those moments to kind of feel out my thoughts and emotions and get through the days.
And kind of lead to discovery of probably yourself too at that age.
Definitely. Yes.
At least a little bit. I mean, I think we're all still discovering ourselves,
right.
And we're all still a work in progress. But how would you describe your artwork in general?
A lot of people describe it as surrealist or fantasy, dreamscape, which I would agree with. I'm capable of realism. I don't necessarily like it because it is more meticulous and it does take more, I guess, research to detail, whereas when you're just making whimsical art, you can mm-hmm. kind of just fall into that make-believe. Mm-hmm. And so I do have a coloring book that I created, and it's called Escapisms.
Oh, amazing.
Because that is kind of how I view my artwork, is those moments of escape. Yeah, to be in a different realm, a different creative mindset that is outside of the chaos of the reality of this world. So
I totally dig that. That's incredible. As far as that type of artwork goes, is that something that's like consciously done by you, or is it just kind of what comes out, kind of where you feel the most comfortable and most engaged?
I think it is somewhat conscious. Like I said, a lot of my art stems from a certain concept, so I'll have a thought. Sometimes it's a play on words. Sometimes it's inspired by music, and I will then try to make the visual representation of that feeling or thought or emotion. When you're working, I think in that sense, it just, you're able to make it more free and, I don't know, kind of like a Dali painting. Mm-hmm. It thoughts and emotions don't always make sense, and we can't always convey them in a way that is so crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And so I think I use a lot of signs and symbolisms in my work and the way I pull things together that I don't necessarily want it to be like so readable to everyone, mm-hmm. but I do want it to create an emotion. And if they can feel it, then they can feel it. And if not, then it's open to other interpretations and to look pretty for them. Right. So
this is how Yvette is feeling. I hope you enjoy it, kind of thing.
Right.
I love it. And has that always sort of been the way your art comes out, or how has your art evolved since the beginning?
I think that is generally how my art tends to come out. Yeah, I think I've always kind of just created what's felt right to me in my thoughts and emotions, mm-hmm. and how I view the world, how I deal with the world. I will sometimes do commissions. Most of the commissions I've done are pet portraits because
people love their pets.
People love their pets.
They're and so that important to our family.
I love pets. Like, I love them so much. And so that is the one thing, because I do find that I am not very compromising when it comes to what I want to do mm-hmm. in my art. So,
and I don't think you should be. I think you should, you know, follow your voice, right. follow what's in your mind. And
while I'm capable of doing many styles, you know, I like to do what I like to do. And if people like my style and if they would like to commission something in my style, that's great. But money isn't important to me, or I would change mm-hmm. my style, right. you know, so that I could get more commissions. But that's not where it's at for me. I do art because it's intrinsic to who I am. Like, mm-hmm. it's necessary. If I wasn't creating, I think I would probably not be able to function in this world.
That's something a lot of non-creative, non-artistic people, even if we express that to mm-hmm. them, my wife, for example, who mm-hmm. is always very supportive, there's not quite an understanding of what mm-hmm. that means. Like, without that, I'm not a person, right? Like,
right,
you get that feeling, and it's one of those things that we have to satisfy and we have to feed, kind of.
Yes.
Did you have anyone growing up that was sort of an inspiration to you? Anybody that you looked to emulate as you were learning your craft?
Not in particular. Like I said, my dad took me to the museum a lot. So I got to see a lot of different art and a lot of different styles. My father, I never got to see any of his art, but he talked about, you know, his art days mm-hmm. when he was younger and really missing it. And so I knew that it was something that had been important to him and that he was passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I think knowing his love for it also kind of helped me love it and want to emulate mm-hmm. it more. So
sounds like maybe he got away from it a little bit more than he would have liked.
Yeah. And
something that maybe, you know, you're trying really hard to avoid.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I think he has a lot of regrets of not being mm-hmm. able to follow dreams and aspirations. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have those same right. regrets. And I don't want my children to either. So
right. I love it. And we live in a beautiful age where we have so many opportunities to mm-hmm. get our art out there and, yes. and to share and to find our little communities and, mm-hmm. and our pockets of friends who can be supportive even from, you know, 300 miles away if
right.
needed. So what are some of the most rewarding aspects to you of being an artist?
I would say definitely the connections and friendships I've made through it. I really enjoy connecting with other creative people. They're generally just really good people, and they tend to see and understand the world the same way that I do. So yeah, I would definitely say one of my favorite things is the creative connections I've made. And Toledo is so filled, like just overflowing with so many creative individuals. And
it really is.
Yes, and it's a little sad sometimes how limited we really get to see all of that potential mm-hmm. that's out there. It does seem like there are some things that are taking place to really start bringing that forth, which I think is great, because when you get a creative community together, there's just so much potential for so much good.
There is absolutely. And that's one of the reasons we started this podcast was mm-hmm. to sort of give even just a small fraction of those incredibly talented people here in Toledo a voice mm-hmm. and give them an opportunity to introduce themselves and say, hey, world, I'm here. Come mm-hmm. see what we're doing. You know, we might not be Hollywood or New York, but we are telling much more real stories. We yes. are pouring our hearts into what we do. And mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons I love this area. I think it sounds like you do too.
Yes, so. I do.
And we're glad to have you as part of it. Have there been difficulties that you've had over the years as an artist, things that you've struggled with, like hurdles that maybe at the time seemed sort of insurmountable that you had to sort of fight through?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think One of the biggest challenges that I'm still facing today that I find in the art world is that historically, art has always been kind of a classist and elitist thing that has been limited in its access. I think in the last couple decades, there have been more changes in that, but there's still a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the primary things is art is incredibly expensive. It can be.
Mm-hmm. It's expensive to make.
It is, yes.
Not even to mention the time that artists put
right.
into their work.
And if you actually want to try to make money off of it, then mm-hmm. you are looking into marketing and all of these mm-hmm. other investments that you have to make in yourself and in your art. And if you don't come from a background of means or have that support system, you don't get very far because you can't invest very much. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot longer. Sometimes I think people, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of getting to a point where I'm like, how much longer can I keep doing this? Like, I know my name's out there, but that doesn't pay my bills.
Yes.
Like, so it is definitely a struggle. And I didn't come from means. Like I said, we moved almost every single year, sometimes twice a year. And that's not because we wanted to. That's because we were living in poverty. And either we needed to try to find a better place to live, or there were evictions of the places we were in. Mm-hmm. Like, there were just many reasons we had to move. So it's, you know, finances is definitely one of those things that can really hold up an artist. And that's when it comes down to, like, I'm not doing this for money.
Right. I'm doing this because I have to
do this. Exactly.
I might be hungry, but I am going to paint, darn it.
Right, because it's either I'm going to paint about this or I'm going to fall into a deep, dark depression, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to be able to function mm-hmm. to keep on moving, to make the next moves, to make the next step. And I've come a long way. Like, while I am still struggling, I am a long way from the financial hardships that we had when I was a child, mm-hmm. but it's still a struggle. And that is one thing I would like to see change more for artists in the area is that financial support and opportunity. I have been able to take advantage of some grants, but once again, that's a skill mm-hmm. that you need to learn that isn't.
And those opportunities in our area are amazing that they're mm-hmm. there, but they are few and far between mm-hmm. compared to other regions. And they're really, you know, we've got maybe 1,000 artists to every 2 grants that are available.
Right.
And that's something that's also maybe shifting, I think. Mm-hmm. At least hopefully it has been the last couple of years. It looks like there's more and more people that yes. I've interacted with that have been given those opportunities. Mm-hmm. But a one-time grant is one thing, but something
right.
sustainable, finding that for the long run is another story. Mm-hmm. So other than the sort of the financial side of things, if you weren't making great art, where do you think you would see yourself today?
That is probably the hardest question. I did go back to college as an adult. Mm-hmm. And when I initially went, I was adamant in my mind, I'm not going back for art. You know, I'm going to get a real degree. you know, Dad said, don't go to school for art. So
you're talking to somebody who got a degree in English. So I understand that.
Right. So I'm like, okay, well, what could I possibly get a degree in that I could also still do art? Because I didn't want to walk away from that. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, I'll major in biology and I can be a biological illustrator. And then I think about a year into that, in my second semester of like second level bio, which was fine. I think someone was like, well, how will you feel about making your own art if you have to do this for a job? Like, will you have the time and energy for it? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I thought about it and I'm like, you know, I don't think I will. And I don't know that that's a sacrifice I want to mm-hmm. make. So I'm like, oh, darn, I guess it's time to switch majors. And so I went ahead and switched to anthropology because I do enjoy the study of humans, our history, our art, our thoughts and ideas throughout our evolution. I think that's part of what makes me an artist is this fascination in humanity. And in a way, recording my own perception and interpretation of it. But yeah, during my my switch to anthropology, I think I had a couple electives, and I'm like, okay, well, let's take a couple art classes because we still want to have access to these things.
Still had a way to sneak some in. Yeah, of course.
We're interested in printmaking. Let's take that as an elective. And so a couple electives in, I'm like, oh, man, I really have access to all of these things in these art studios that I don't have at home. Mm-hmm. And so then, yeah, I ended up switching to an art degree. So,
that's who you are. I mean,
so honestly, if I were going to try to be anything outside of an artist, it would probably something in anthropology. That's about it.
But it's art. It's art through and through, blood and bone at this point. Yeah. I love it. And that is one thing about colleges is it's another investment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an opportunity, they have things that we would never be able to play with.
Right.
I mean, I got to learn how to typeset, how to make paper, how to bind books, all this stuff that I never would have thought would be something I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you got something very similar there. So
definitely.
What fuels your creative passions other than some of the stuff that we've touched on already?
Yeah.
Is it just that intrinsic need to create?
It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a way to express. I used to do a lot of writing, poetry, journaling. I think those thoughts, I don't know, I think I got to a point where I want to share who I am and how I feel and what I think, but I also don't want to be so open and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And art is a way to communicate that in its vague sense. So I think I'd need to do it in order to communicate even to myself what I'm feeling, because sometimes, you know, I can get lost in all of the chaos of life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And it's a way to check in with myself. And then, yeah, just meditate on those thoughts and feelings and be able to just exist.
Self-discovery, recovery,
mm-hmm.
expression. I love it. I absolutely love it. If anyone were to want to sort of join you in your artistic journey,
mm-hmm.
where could they find you? Where can they sort of meet the artist that is Yvette?
I do have a Facebook site. It's YMR Artist. I have to look
something
up.
Like that.
The YMR Artist. And I am also on Instagram, YMR Artist. The YMR stands for Yvette Michelle Reyes. And then I do have a website that I'm still working on, but you can still check out a lot of work there.
Okay.
It is YvetteMichelleReyes.com.
All right, perfect. And do you have any projects going on that people can check out in the near future?
I am currently working on a mural that should be finished up by the summer. I do have a big project I'm working on for myself that I'm hoping will be a gallery show either the end of the year or the beginning of next year.
Amazing.
Kind of depends on how long this project takes.
Awesome. Well, we look forward so much to seeing those and seeing what you do next. Really appreciate the time today to come talk to us, and it was great talking art with you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. This has been today's episode of Proud to Be of Rust and Glass. We recently had the pleasure of meeting Yvette at the first annual Creative City Festival, painting their heart out live during the show. And it's fair to say that they embody what it means to be an artist in the Midwest, making great art. Again, I am your host and producer, Curtis Dieter. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you want to join the conversation, check us out at wgte.org/rustandglass. Until next time, thanks for listening. Now go forth and create.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.